Welcome to the September 26th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by The Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Well, folks, the topic that you picked for this week was the daily life of a professional bettor. It's an excellent topic. I love to discuss how it goes because I like to dispel some of the, fallacies, I guess, that are out there. There's no other way to describe it. When you see different advertising for touts or, various sports services where they show the fast car, the lady sitting next to them, the private jet, the sitting by the pool. And with all this stuff going on, I wonder when they actually have time to handicap the games, because you got to get intel in from somewhere. Maybe they're just TSP Live subscribers, so all they do is sit at the pool all day, drive around with the ladies, and then they get a TSP Live alert on Telegram, put the bet in, and then go about the rest of the day. So perhaps that's the case. But in my situation, I don't get to wait for a TSP Live alert to come up. I have to be the one to generate that alert and that content, and that does take time. So of course, if you're going to do something right, you have to realize that there's going to be time and effort involved in it. But again, that's not to say that there aren't great parts about it. So I'll get to the great parts first, because that's easy to see and easy to understand. But then I'll discuss some of the, I don't want to say negatives, but things that you have to be aware of in becoming a professional bettor. So obviously, the freedoms that you get are phenomenal. You make your own schedule. Typically you don't have a boss unless you're part of a syndicate and somebody else is running it and you're just contributing to it. But assuming you're just an individual professional bettor, you have an incredibly flexible schedule. You have really unlimited earning potential. There is no set salary. Now, of course, your potential is limited by your bankroll, but that can increase as you go along and that can change. And theoretically, there is no cap to what you can make until you start dropping, you have a $5 or $10 million bankroll, and it's tough to kind of get down one unit when you have a $10 million bankroll on ATP Beijing with Moutet minus 135. So that's something to think about, as well. But obviously that's down the road usually for most people. The biggest thing for me is, and it goes with all this other stuff, the freedom that you have, it's the lifestyle freedom. As I'm doing this podcast right now, I am out of town. Some of you probably know where I am, and you'll see pictures of it on Saturday. But the ability to just simply go, I'm gonna go to this sporting event this weekend, or next week, I'm going to go to Vegas, or, I want to travel here, I want to travel there. Awesome. Some of you, I enjoy sports, outside as well, like fishing, hunting, that kind of thing. Some of you, you want to get out and do that. I just want to go to the woods and whatever on a certain day. Well, you better have some Starlink internet so that you can stay connected. But otherwise, yeah, you have that freedom to do that. And when you're stuck in a 9-to-5 job for 5, 6, 7 days a week, even, the idea that you could just come and go and do what you want as you please is very attractive. And that does exist in professional gambling. But as I said, there are negatives to this business. So I think those are the positives. The freedom is clear. The money that you can make is clear. The fun that you can have, of course, it's a passion-driven business where you like sports. You get to be involved in sports on a daily basis. You like the action of betting. You get to be involved in that on a daily basis. And as you go along, maybe starting out, you don't have a lot of contacts, but it's funny how the business works. As you go along, as you start betting at books or talking to different people online, whatever, you develop a network of contacts. And that's nice as well. It's great to be able to bounce things off Tony or Wolf or any of the other guys that come along and that are in my network, which is, dozens and dozens, hundreds at this point. But that's, thanks to decades in the business. And to just exchange information, to get insights, to see some blind spots maybe that you have that somebody else doesn't, and they can help you out. That is really helpful in your professional gambling. But these are all the good things that go with professional gambling. Some of the negatives that people don't really realize is you have to have health insurance. That's one of the big things, especially now because of the cost of health insurance. You might be spending $20,000 to $30,000 to $40,000 a year on health insurance. That can kill some sports bettors who are just starting out with smaller bankrolls and trying to make a go of this business. Because if you think that, one of the things that I tell people, I should say it this way, is you want to target a 30 to 35% return per year as your goal income, bankroll growth, I should say. And that $30,000 to $35,000 a year is going to be gobbled up in health insurance if you don't have another solution for it. So sometimes being a professional gambler is going to require you to, does your wife have health insurance or spouse have health insurance? that can cover you in the meantime? Or are you going to work another job? Basically, have two jobs. You're going to work your current job, and then you're going to also work this other relatively full-time job as a professional sports bettor. And as you build up that income and the bankroll, then you can afford health insurance on your own. Then you can, you know, let go of the 9-to-5 and just concentrate on your professional gambling work. But that is one thing that you really have to assess before you decide, yep, I'm going to be a professional gambler. Here we go. Think of your health insurance situation. You need it. And there's a lot of different, you know, resources out there. A lot of the states have marketplaces that, based on your income, they set your premium. So look into all that. I don't want to make this a, the goal of the Go Fast and Win podcast is to go fast and win. So I don't want to take a deep dive into health insurance, but it's something you have to think about, and you can do your research on your own for that. The other negatives with the business are, you know, probably what you would expect: the stress, the variance. There's no guaranteed income. You know, you do fight with bookmaker limits, you do fight with account closures, but there are so many books out there. There are brokers out there. There are, you know, you can kiosk stuff at different places, which means, you know, if they max you out at a $300 bet at a kiosk, you just keep popping around to different kiosks and doing that. Although now even they're cracking down on that, where if you're cashing a bunch of the same tickets for low limits, they will flag you. And some books, I believe there was a couple people who weren't getting their tickets cashed for that reason. I don't know how it ended up, but you know, that is something to look at. But usually, you know, I mean, even for myself at this point, I'm able to get most of my action down whenever I want it, even on obscure sports like the ATP Beijing that I put out last night on Thursday. The main thing though, it's something a lot of you fight now too, is the temptation to be a recreational gambler as well as a professional. So a professional, you sit there and you go, the only good bet today is Moutet in tennis in ATP Beijing. So I'm going to take that overnight. But then that little thing creeps in and says, it's Thursday night. There's football on. Don't you want to bet Arizona and Seattle? Don't you want to bet some college football? And then you succumb to that, and now you're bleeding units that way. That is a big way that a lot of professional gamblers get killed, is they are doing fine with their professional wagers, but then they have all these outside wagers, these shenanigans wagers that they just like, and they start throwing units around here and there, and they bleed out on that. Even if you're betting pizza money, which is 0.3 units is typically what I consider a pizza unit, or you're betting candy money, which is 0.2 units, thereabouts, that adds up. If you do three of those in a day, you lost over a half a unit. You might have lost almost a unit just messing around with bets. And you really can't bleed units that way. So you have to decide, I'm going to be a professional gambler. This is what I'm going to do. And you have to be disciplined enough to stick to that. So for me, I would say that those are the key points. When it comes to the positives of the business, you have freedom of schedule, you have lifestyle freedom, you can go and do whatever you want as long as you have connection to the real world. There have been times that I haven't been within cell service miles, you know, hundreds of miles of cell service, and yet I'm operating everything that I do within professional gambling. So you know, the freedom is incredible. The income potential is immense, because it's really just limited to your bankroll. And if you are a professional gambler and you are winning, you can grow that bankroll very well over time to expand your income and get it to a place that you never even imagined. When I started out gambling, I was betting $5 a unit. This is back when I was in high school, but still, it was $5 a unit. Today, well, I'm betting substantially more than that. And the dream life that I had as a professional gambler back then has been fulfilled today, but it did not come easy. It did not come free. It did not come simple. You know, I'm about 30 years into it from when I placed those initial $5 bets and was, you know, thrown in a $5 NHL parlay one night or a $5 straight bet to where I am today. And it took a lot of failure. It took years and years of failure to figure things out. And then it took years of fine-tuning the method to get a really solid system. And now, yes, today I get to sit back and enjoy that system. But again, it's a long road to get to this point. So you have to be ready for that. This is not some get-rich-quick scheme like people visualize it when they see the ads, when they see that sort of stuff. There is time, there is effort. Yes, you can have a service like TSP Live, and I'm not trying to be, you know, funny about it. But yeah, I mean, really, if you're following what I do, I'm the one putting in the work. You're paying a subscription for the information that we put out at the Sharp Plays, and you just get that alert, you put your bet in, you go about your day. But there could come a time where I'm not doing it any longer. So it's important that as you're using TSP Live, you're learning from it. You're picking up little tricks. You're seeing little things. You're maybe building a network. You're figuring out your own systems and methodologies and models and such for handicapping so that when the day does come that perhaps there isn't a sharp plays anymore, you're able to continue forward without even a speed bump and just move on with growing your bankroll, making money as a professional gambler. I'll go ahead and close this sort of segment. I really could go on for hours and hours. And, you know, when I started putting together the notes for this podcast and the stuff that I wanted to talk about, I realized that it really can't be covered in a podcast. So if some of you were looking forward to a very lengthy, I don't want to say masterclass, but a how-to or a startup guide to becoming a professional gambler, this podcast isn't going to cover that, but I will promise you that I will put together a far longer audio compilation of information on becoming a professional gambler. I'll give you some background as to how I did it, where I started, the failures, how I moved forward, and probably be about 30, 45 minutes for those who are interested. But it'll take you through the phases, the things to look for, the stuff to do, and hopefully it will help you move along in your desire or current career as a professional gambler. Hopefully it'll help you tighten it up. The last thing, though, that I wanted to cover, because the big topic, so this is sort of the Cliff Notes version of the day in the life of a professional gambler, or the lifestyle of a professional gambler, but I wanted to conclude about paying yourself. This is the biggest thing that I think aspiring professional gamblers fail on. They draw their income from their bankroll. So let's say you have a $100,000 bankroll, you're a professional gambler, you're going out there and you're betting, and you go, well, I need $1,000 every week to live. So they'll draw that $1,000 a week out of their bankroll. That is awful. It does not work well. It puts a lot of pressure on you. The only way to really do this right is to set aside a year's worth of income when you decide you're going to be a professional gambler. Now, I realize you might go, well, I don't have that kind of money. Totally, totally understand. The option then for you is to continue working at your day job and also be a professional gambler on the side until you can build that money up. Because the goal is to have a year's worth of income in a separate bank account that you can draw that $1,000 a week out as you need it, or not as you need it, I shouldn't say it that way, but draw your $1,000 a week out so you have a consistent system and you're getting an income while your bankroll is separate. That way it takes a lot of the pressure off you, because when you have bills to pay and you're in the middle of a cold streak, maybe it's a multi-month cold streak, which I know novice gamblers think, oh, you know, you never have more than 2 weeks in a row losing and you're back to winning. Well, that's poor shit. But if you're a new gambler at this and you have a $100,000 bankroll and you get in a cold streak and you're down to $88,000 or $80,000, let's say, or even $75,000 or $70,000, because a 30% downswing is not rare. Or, you know, that happens a lot as a professional gambler, to lose 30% of your bankroll or your gain at any point in the year, sometimes multiple points in the year. So, and still have a great year despite those. So that's important to realize as well. But if you're drawing $1,000 out over 3 months as you're losing that 30%, you're killing your bankroll. So if you have money in the bank in a separate account that you're drawing your $1,000 a week off of, and you're keeping your bankroll and not touching it until the year is over, that's a big pressure release that isn't on your back to have to sweat, oh my God, I'm not paying my bills, I'm taking money out, I'm losing. It just sends you down the spiral. So you should have a bankroll set and you should have a separate account where you have your 1 year's worth of income set aside. When that year is over, your bankroll hopefully grew. If you decide to become a professional gambler, you should be a winner. So hopefully your bankroll grew. And then you can take that money that your bankroll grew up of and put into your income account. So now you still have your bankroll and you have another year's worth of income that you're drawing off of. It's an interesting dance that you have to play, though, at this point, because the question becomes, do you want to leave some of that money, some of your income or your profit for the past year in your bankroll so that you can wager off of it and thereby increase your unit size and potentially your income and continue to grow your bankroll that way and thereby grow your income year after year? Or are you taking 100% of it out, throwing it into an account, and that's the money you're going to live off for the next year? Something to think about as you go along. There's really no set math or it's just what works best for you and what your goals are. And those are going to vary by gambler. But when it comes to paying yourself, do not pay yourself out of your bankroll. You have to have the money set aside, a year's worth of income set aside. Don't cut corners. Don't do 6 months. It puts undue pressure on you. And when you have undue pressure, you become an emotional bettor. You become an aggressive bettor. You're going to press and chase. And it's just deadly, deadly to your bankroll and to your potential career as a professional gambler. Once you get that first year under your belt, you've now probably exhausted your reserve account that you were drawing off of because a year is over. You take the profits out of your bankroll, you put it into that reserve account. That's where you're going to draw your weekly, you have your weekly draw come out of, and your bankroll just sits there for another year. So it takes a lot of the pressure off. You now have another year to grow your income. So if the first couple months don't go well, no sweat. You have 9 more months. You have a reserve account. Keep grinding. Keep your head, looking forward. Keep pushing ahead. And that, to me, helps you immensely as a professional gambler. I've seen so many people try to take money out of their bank. It's awful. It's over. I mean, you'll see it. It might work for a month or two or 3 months, but if you're doing it that way, you're going to see it's going to come to a point where everything is just going to collapse on you. So that's my very short version of a day in the life of a professional gambler or the life of a professional gambler. But I promise you I will have a longer version getting into more of the minutiae of the typical day in the life of a gambler. I'd love to talk about meditation. I'd love to talk about the food to eat. I would love to talk about different things like that, which actually play a part and a big part in your professional betting, because professional betting is a mental game. You have to be able to win the mental game if you're going to be a professional bettor. And yeah, it takes meditation. It takes clearing your mind. It takes, getting out of your head for a little bit. It takes eating right. If you're eating crappy foods, your brain doesn't work as good. Your body doesn't work as good. You put more stress on your body. All this stuff makes a difference. So we don't have the time to get into that today, but I promise you, I will have an episode that's strictly about being a professional bettor. Go from beginning to end, all the minutiae in between. And I hope that helps you, those that are interested. And I'm always open to questions. If you have any questions, stop by the website, thesharpplays.com. Use the contact form. Shoot a message to me on Telegram, and I'd be happy to get back to you. And now, because this episode's been pretty long, let's get into some information for this week and my handicapping game of the week of the year, because it's 0-2 this season, I believe. It definitely doesn't have a win. It's either 0-2 or 0-3. I'd have to go back and check. But we got to get a win this week, so let's get into that now. So the My Handicapping Game of the Week is going to be on, and it's, I don't know if it's an ugly one, but it's going to be on Duke. And that's Duke -5 in college football, of course, over Syracuse. Syracuse got the big win over Clemson. Yes, this is the typical letdown spot, but Duke has been a sharp darling since the season started. Sharps have been attacking them every single week of the season. And it didn't pay off for the first 2 weeks, but it did last week. They got a nice win and cover against NC State. Thankfully, we were on it. We got that win. But sharps again on Duke this week. Yes, it is the letdown for Syracuse, but that's not really why I like it. Something is up with this Duke team. I think they are undervalued. And I was happy to see that the public was all over Syracuse. Public was hammering Syracuse. They continue to hammer Syracuse. So I think that's helping keep the line on Duke lower. If Syracuse hadn't beat Clemson, but Clemson is obviously vastly overrated and a garbage team, as we've seen over the past couple weeks, but it's still giving them enough street cred to get the public drawn in. And I think if the public wasn't interested in Syracuse or they got smoked against Clemson, I believe this line would be around 7, and we're getting it around 5. That's a nice little discount. So I'm hoping to get the first win of the season here. It sucked. I always say my handicapping sucks, but I'm using a little sharp information here and targeting a sharp darling. So hopefully that will outpower my handicapping when it comes to just going on what I like or statistics of myself. If I didn't have the tools that I have, the Hermes AI, the TSP Live Radar, I'd be flipping a coin basically. So I thank God every day that I have the network that I do and that I have the technology that I do to make all this happen. But long story short, game of the week, Duke. Let's cash that ticket. Let's get on a run here with these My Handicapping Games of the Week of the Year. And that's going to do it. It's been a long enough episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know I've probably rambled. I know I repeat myself. I do apologize for that because, unfortunately, I don't really go back and edit these. It's just to put it together and put it out. So play it on 2x speed, and then I'm not so boring or drawn out. Have a great week. Cash some tickets. Good luck. I will talk to you later today. This is now Friday, and hopefully we get some good content. for tonight's action, and of course, another great weekend of football. Take care.